Om Shanti, Friday, 20th September, 2019. Essence for today, from the Sakar Murli. Sweet children, here you receive the love of the family path. Because the father says from his heart, my children, you receive the inheritance from the father. A guru, a bodily being, cannot give this love. Sweet children, here you receive the love of the family path, because the father says from his heart, my children, you receive the inheritance from the father. A guru, a bodily being, cannot give this love. The essence today starts with a contrast between the father's love for his children and the inability of a guru to give the same quality of love. This theme of contrasts continues strongly throughout the Murli. For example, there's a contrast of the family path versus the path of isolation. Godly love versus worldly love. Good students versus poor students. The Supreme Father versus worldly fathers. The Supreme Teacher versus gurus. Golden Age versus Iron Age. The method of children's remembrance. The method of children's remembrance versus the method of devotees' remembrance. Spiritual studies versus devotees' study of scriptures. Unlimited renunciation versus limited renunciation. True God versus false God. And finally, the kingdom of Rama versus the kingdom of Ravan. So what is a contrast and what is its value? A contrast is an obvious difference between two or more things. It serves to highlight whatever is being contrasted that may easily have gone unnoticed or been taken for granted. Baba is waking us up from a deep sleep. And the nature of sleep is such that there is a reluctance to awaken. So Baba has to repeatedly say the same things over and over, present new methods of practice, and inspire us with visions of the new world and the deities so that we become intoxicated with the vision he has for us. Today's series of contrasts allows us to appreciate the fortune of being in Sangam Yuga and having Baba's presence with us. It shows how we become deities and why there is no growth on the path of devotion, but rather stagnation and degradation. It shows us the difference between knowledge and ignorance, so we can choose to stay asleep or awaken. Excuse me. With this method of contrasts, Baba is also teaching us who he is. For until we know him, how can we have a close relationship with him and move away from all other relationships? How can we know the privilege it is to be his child and a Brahmin? And how can we know the importance of remembering only one? Baba once said that the selfless love in the gathering of the Brahmin family attracts the mind. Our speciality is that we have found Baba, the family, the destination of purity, and the easy support from Baba to make our lives elevated. We are under the canopy of Baba's protection and guidance. Baba gathers us from all over the world, and we come with different languages, cultures, and ways of relating. And the wonder of Baba is that we can live together and come together with one vision and aim, to create a new world of one religion, one language, and one custom and system. The main reason being that we feel the powerful love from Baba's heart and the sweetness with which Baba says, "My children." And we become tied together in that love. The world leaders have not been able to unite us, nor have gurus been able to do this. Today, we will look at the contrast of the vision and love the father has for his children versus the vision of a guru for his followers on the path of devotion, and the significance of the difference. So to repeat the essence, sweet children, here you receive the love of the family path, because the father says from his heart, "My children." You receive the inheritance from the father. A guru, a bodily being, cannot give this love. The family path of God is the path of knowledge, light, truth, freedom from suffering, coupled with an aim and objective. The path of devotion, on the other hand, is the path of ignorance, darkness, lies, suffering. They are unable to see, because no one is able to shed the light of truth. No one is able to correct the falsehood, and there is no aim or objective. The significance of this is that we now have a responsibility to those who are unaware, to shed light, to share the truth, and bring them closer to God. On the family path, the father's vision is one of father and child. So there is unlimited love from the ocean of love to his children, and a deep responsibility to nurture his children. The love is untainted by the vices. It is pure and unadulterated. No human being can have this love for others. And so it attracts and leads to salvation. Excuse me. Whereas the guru's vision is much less. It is one of discipleship. There is no vision of father and child, no sense of responsibility or ability to lead anyone into salvation. On the family path of God, the children see the father too, with a lot of love, and there is the recognition of three fathers. But on the path of devotion, the disciples only see their guru, and there is no conscious recognition of fathers and their roles. The nature of a father is to give an inheritance. Here, it is a question of the Supreme Father giving all his treasures and powers, the inheritance of a divine intellect, liberation in life, and mastery of the world. Gurus do not have the power to give anything. They too pray to God. The other differences that have been mentioned are that the father sees souls, whereas a guru sees bodies. The father has regard for children and vice versa. Gurus have no consideration of love in their hearts for followers, as their children. The relationship or vision is only one of discipleship. The father teaches a vast amount of knowledge that frees the children from the bondage of the world. Gurus, on the other hand, relate scriptures and perform rituals that maintain bondage in the world. The father comes and gives his introduction, and this begins the stage of ascending. Gurus consider God to be omnipresent and so remain in bondage to their false beliefs, and so they cannot grant salvation to anyone. In fact, they are in the stage of descending. The father teaches new things to which there is transformation. This path is a school where there is realization that the supreme soul is God, Shiva, and as students, they must imbibe what they hear. And children are required to have unlimited remembrance throughout the day so that they can be purified. Whereas, on the path of devotion, it is called a satsang, to read and relate scriptures. But Krishna is considered to be God. So as disciples, there is no change, and they often do not follow their gurus in practice. At the start of the day, there is limited remembrance combined with a ritual of turning the beads of a rosary. Because of not having knowledge of God, they can't go into the unlimited. On the path of knowledge, there is unlimited renunciation of body, mind, and wealth. Nothing is mine. And the aim is establishment of the deity religion. On the path of devotion, on the other hand, renunciation is limited to the physical, just leaving their households. There is no aim, and the path remains irreligious because vice is irreligious. There is only the relation of mother, father, sons, and daughters on the path of knowledge. The law of God's family is to live in the consciousness of brotherhood. But on the path of devotion, there are innumerable relationships stemming from a culture of lust and desires. The guru cannot say, "Become pure." Because of these many types of relationships, many types of love are described by the ancient Greeks to cover the different relationships, and they are still handed down to us today. Most internet sites, including psychological sites, list 7 or 8 types of love. These are: number 1, is agape love or unconditional love, which is an altruistic and selfless love. It is considered a spiritual love, as this is love for all humans and is selfless. However, very few attain it. Number 2 is eros or romantic love. And it is associated with passionate, intense, and physical acts of love. But because of the intensity of passion, it burns out quickly. The Greeks were afraid of it because it could result in a loss of control. Number 3 is philia or affectionate love. This is the love one feels for friends and is often referred to as platonic love. That is, love without physical acts. Number four is philautia, or self-love. Today, this is considered narcissistic and selfish love. However, the Greeks considered it a love that was absolutely required or necessary for all to have before one could love others. It was considered self-compassion for the self. Number five is storge, or familiar love. And it is similar to philia, or affectionate love between friends. But this is more the love that exists between a parent and a child. There is a strong bond, kinship, and familiarity between them. Number six is pragma, or enduring love. And it is the opposite to eros, or physical love. This is considered to be a love that has matured and developed over a long period of time, mainly because those involved are good at compromising with each other and both willingly put in equal effort to make the other happy. Number seven is ludus, or playful love. It is described as the feeling of infatuation and the constant wanting to be with another. The feeling is one of aliveness and excitement. And finally, number eight is mania, or obsessive love. This is not considered a good type of love because it is obsessive. It is a type of love that can lead to madness, jealousy, and anger, as the person fears losing the object of love and can do irrational things to keep the person. Fortunately, Baba has freed us from all these relationships and types of love and simply says, remember me alone and have all relationships with me. This unlimited renunciation is imperative if we are to attain the new world. The religion of renunciation coupled with isolation is not the deity religion. The original eternal deity religion we know of is now being established, making us into the masters of the unlimited. We can now understand that there is no benefit in doing devotion. No one and nothing else can give us this knowledge, through which there is a lot of benefit, and only the stage of ascending. Receiving the love of the family path is the basis of our progress. In Baba saying, my children, there is so much love. It's a love so powerful that it takes us beyond at a glance. And in going beyond with the Supreme Father, we are purified of our burdens and sorrows. With Baba acknowledging us as his children, we receive all his treasures, powers, and a divine intellect. This love sustains us and enables us to embody the knowledge and attain success. A guru cannot give this love because he's a bodily being with all the limitations of a human being in terms of purity, knowledge, truth, and power. So again, sweet children, here you receive the love of the family path because the Father says from his heart, my children. You receive the inheritance from the Father. A guru, a bodily being, cannot give this love. Om Shanti.